Women have been giving birth for centuries, so it's a pretty natural experience, right? Wrong. I'm Stephanie King, professional doula, childbirth educator, and the creator of the My Essential Birth course, the online childbirth education course that's helping women everywhere confidently achieve their best birth. Today's culture would have us think that birth should be treated like an illness or an emergency, and that most of us need other people telling us what's best for our bodies because we aren't the experts. So sit tight, because if you're tuning into this podcast, you'll probably start to believe in your body, your intuition, and find yourself empowered and confident to do what it takes to have the birth of your dreams. If you like listening to me take you through these weekly topics step by step, then you're going to love the My Essential Birth course. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and definitely head over to myessentialbirth.com for the free downloads mentioned right here in these episodes and to join the birth course and community full of pregnant moms just like you. I have to add a disclaimer that I am not a medical professional and I cannot provide medical advice. All of the information expressed in this podcast are based off of personal, professional, and educational experiences and are my own opinions. Please work with a provider you trust for medical advice during your pregnancy and birth. All right, you ladies ready for the reviewer of the week? It is Lulu2394. And she says, the best podcast for birth preparation. Thank you, Lulu. She says, I highly recommend this podcast to anyone expecting, and I highly recommend the course as well. Between the podcast and course, I was empowered to switch providers at 32 weeks and have the home birth I wanted. My midwife and doula were so impressed by how much information I knew and how prepared I was. It was all thanks to My Essential Birth. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Lulu. Incredible review. Really, really happy that you switched providers at 32 weeks if that's what felt right for you, and that you were able to get over to that midwife, that doula, that home birth experience and be prepared for that. That's what it's all about. I'm so glad that you were able to be in the birth course. I hope that you're still in the Facebook group gleaning all the information for postpartum too. This is just amazing. And for all of you listening, join me in the birth course. I promise you will be prepared and you will not be disappointed. Now, let's talk about this week's topic. I'm pretty excited about it. I hope you will be too. This came from a question that I got in my Instagram DMs, and it was a mom, she says. And so if you're listening, I could not figure out how to search this question again and figure out how to say, hey, I'm making this podcast for you. So if you're listening and this is you, this one's for you. But she said, listening to your podcast, just found out I'm pregnant and I am constantly writing down your advice on questions. Anyway, can you do an episode on questions to ask from beginning to end, beginning with how to find a provider? So let's do it. I actually love this. And for those of you that are listening right now, you're going to want to check out this week's show notes. I actually have a couple of these downloads already linked. If you follow me on Instagram, it's if you click the link in the bio and you scroll down to the bottom, there's questions for your providers, question for your OB, questions for your midwife. And so some of these questions already exist in PDF form where you can just print it out, take it with you, or print them out, highlight the stuff that you want to really ask questions about and then take with you to your provider. I'm going to go over a lot of those today. I'm also even going to add to them and maybe give a little bit of background. Now, I love that we want to start with the provider because that's the truth. Between your preparation and your provider, that's going to give you your base for, is this birth going to be the birth that I am wanting it to be? So here's the thing. Before seeking out a provider, you have to know what you want. So hopefully, if you're here with me, I'm going to help guide you a little bit. Maybe some of you are already there. You already know exactly what kind of birth you want, and you can jump in just a couple minutes later to the questions. If that's not you, let me tell you what I mean. And maybe it is you. Stay with me here. Take some notes. Take some mental notes, if nothing else, because I just want to help you understand maybe what you're going to be looking for in a provider, and that comes from the decisions that are going to be made with that provider. And guys, I might even, don't quote me on this, I might even be considering doing even like a webinar to go over these things. I feel like I'm getting a lot of questions around planning for birth or birth maps. And the trouble with just handing you a template, which is great, the trouble with just handing you a template is you can write down all the things you want, but if you really don't know what those things mean, then it's not going to be helpful to you in the long run. If you're like, oh, I totally want this unmedicated experience and I don't want anybody touching me and I don't want, you know, why? Why do you want that? And when birth changes, because we don't always get to pick exactly how it goes, what does that look like for you? What's that next step? How do we get you to a place where you're like, this is exactly what I want, but if this and this happens, I know I have enough education, enough knowledge behind these other decisions that if I can't have X, Y, and Z, I really do want these two things. These matter to me the most, or I would like to switch it to this kind of birth. That matters. So what I want to say is understanding what you're going to be putting on that birth plan or how you're creating your birth experience really matters for how you're going to talk to your provider. Now, with that said, I'm talking about finding a provider, the first thing you're going to do is probably decide like, oh, I need to ask around to find a provider. Or maybe that's what you're thinking. In my case, I was like, my insurance takes this provider. I want to go to that hospital. It's close to the beach. That sounds good, right? Everybody, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that that particular birth ended in a cesarean and I didn't have an ocean view either. So trust me, that's not the way to do this. Not that there's anything wrong with this person takes my insurance and stuff. You can end up with a great provider like that. But I didn't know the red flags. I didn't recognize the red flags. And so that could have been a little troubling for me. It could have been something that helped me along the way. Here's the thing. When you are asking people, before you go and ask those people, I want you to be thinking of, are these people similar to me and to my situation? That means, are they around the same age, or is age going to be a factor? How about risks? What kind of risks do they have versus what kind of risks do I have? Maybe you don't have any, maybe they had a few, or vice versa. Maybe they don't have any and you know you're going to have gestational diabetes again with this pregnancy. I want you to keep those things in mind, because that provider can change. Like, even though this person had a really great experience at their provider, because of your specific situation, that might not be a good provider for you. So along with that would be like, what is their lifestyle like? Personality can play a big part. If somebody who's like, you know, really stern and really able and capable to stand up for themselves and speaks their mind and they like this provider, well, that provider might steamroll you if you are not that way. So keep that in mind as you are talking to people about what kind of provider. And I want you to keep in the back of your mind that you should be interviewing several. Even if that first provider is like, oh my gosh, this is the one, great. Then they're still going to be the one if you go to another provider. And all that's going to do is solidify that they're the one. Or maybe you realize, I really like that provider, but this provider is exactly what I want. That matters. So trust me, interview more than one. So people that you can ask. These are going to be like your friends, your family, other pregnant moms that are local to your area. In my case, I asked a lot of people within my church ward or neighborhood area, and I asked a lot of questions for those people. In my case, it was like a little different. I was a VBAC and some of those other things. So like that kind of stuff matters. What's your background? Are you trying for a VBAC? Are you trying for a home birth? You know, what does your pregnancy look like? Local doulas are going to be an excellent, excellent resource for you, because they are not only going to be connected to the community and know who the providers are and at which hospitals, but they will have likely been there themselves, especially some doulas who have been doing it for some time. Or if they haven't, if they don't have, you know, personal experience, they should probably definitely have some doula connections with other women that they can say, hey, I have a mom in this area. She's looking for this kind of provider. What do you got? And that matters, because now that I'm a little more seasoned, I've been with women who are like, they sound like their provider is great. They've given them the birth plan. They've talked about all the things. And that provider in labor, complete 180. It sounded like they were so supportive of all these things. And then I met that provider during labor, and I could not believe how that birth was taking a turn, all because of his attitude. And I mean, all of a sudden, it just became like, I am in charge. You're going to do what I say. And the mom's face, you could tell like, this is not what we discussed. I'm not comfortable with this. What is even happening? And so it was a lot of like, okay, you know, plan B, we're going to have to give a little bit of pushback, and here's actually your options. And now I have to be a little more aggressive about how I'm talking to mom on the sidelines here and making sure that she is talking and speaking up for herself. It just matters. So after that birth, right? And I've had just a few that have been like that. I'm like, so this is my experience. I love it if you want to remain with them. Just plan to be very assertive, but just so that you're aware. And so we have been able to guide as doulas, depending on what mom is looking for, And when she's asking, it is never a doula's place to go out and say, your provider sucks, so get a new one. That's never, ever going to be what I am saying to you. But it does, those experiences matter. And I think it's fair for moms to know informed consent, right? It's the same when it comes to finding a provider. Now, along with that, local childbirth educators, those are going to be another backup for you. Doulas are great. Childbirth educators are wonderful. They're going to hear information back and forth, but a lot of times they are dealing with moms when they are just pregnant, not necessarily postpartum, unless they check in with those moms postpartum. And so this is why I think doulas are just like so wonderful, because they're actually in the birth space. So I would say doulas above childbirth educators, but both, sometimes they are both, right? A childbirth educator is a local doula as well. What I'm going to tell you not to do, do not go into moms groups and start asking questions about the birth that you want, because heaven help you, you are going to get all of the rudest comments you've ever seen, especially if you're like, this is the kind of birth I want. Like, I don't want to have an IV and I don't, you know, and I want to go unmedicated or blah, blah, blah. People just have their own opinions and they do not know how to keep them to themselves on social media. So don't do that. If there is a local Facebook group that is dedicated to birth, though, I do recommend being in that, provided you can read through comments and people are respectful and it's actually helpful and useful. Don't get stuck on it a ton, maybe, but that is a great place for you to go and ask questions. In fact, if you are in Utah specifically, Utah has a Facebook group. I think it is by Utah Doula Association, and it's called Utah Birth Forum. So you can get at it on there. And I always send my local moms there if I don't know personally or have personal experience with a local doula that can tell me about a specific provider or situation. I use this a lot for you moms that are in My Essential Birth and you're in Utah, but you're not in my area. I will say head to Utah Birth Forum and ask the question there. And that goes for postpartum stuff too, pediatricians and whatever you're looking for that way. So keep that in mind. Now, let's get into the what do we actually ask our providers when you're looking for one. First of all, I'm going to remind you, I have two free downloads that have already, we've listed these questions in order and probably exactly what you're looking for. However, once you print them out or you look at them, you can highlight and say like, yes, this is a question I want to ask. This is why. Yes, this is a question. It will also help engage your mind and get other questions flowing. So maybe you don't know exactly what you want to ask yet, but those questions are going to be that step off point where you're like, oh, and that reminds me, I have these five other things that are on my mind. There's a million questions that you can ask a provider, that you can ask any provider. And so the goal, I think, by understanding what your options are and having the questions that you know you want answered can help form more of a natural conversation instead of coming in with that list and reading it off. I feel like providers might not love that a ton. So keep that in mind. These are jumping off points. It's the same in the course when we have you create your birth plan, for example. Make it really clear that this is a jumping off point. This plan is great. This is a opportunity to talk to your provider about this conversation and all of these options. It's not just something you can shove at them. I mean, you can do that, and there's nothing wrong with that necessarily, depending on your relationship and how it goes and how it's done. However, I find it much better to figure out, these are the things I want. Let's have this natural conversation. Which things am I really going to have to maybe like prioritize and maybe even fight for a little bit, because I know this is not something, or remind, because I know this isn't something that my provider does on a regular basis, maybe just because you want an unmedicated birth and that's not really something that they're used to, or whatever the case. Then we use it as like, okay, I know that I'm going to keep these on here, but I'm going to put these two things on top, because these are really important to me. And I know it's not normal for my provider or the hospital to do this. But to give you an idea, so let's talk about questions for a midwife, for example. I'm going to start with a midwife. We'll go to OB. And then I want to talk about hospital questions too, because it has an effect, and I'll weigh in on that in a second. But questions like, how long have you been in practice? How many babies have you delivered? Do you carry licensure? Like here in Utah, some midwives can be direct entry midwives. They don't have to carry any kind of licensure. They can be a licensed direct entry midwife, and then they do have the licensure for things like Pitocin and stuff. So this is where that matters. That's a whole other conversation about the difference in licensure and different kinds of midwives and different, like, how they practice out of hospital and in hospital. But that's a question to ask. Do you carry licensure? Tell me about that, right? Do you attend home births or can you only, or do you only do birth center births or do you do both? How much time do you allot for appointments in case I have a lot of questions? Are you able to come to my home for appointments? Because a lot of home birth midwives will do that. Sometimes they have a setup in their own home where you go, or sometimes they have a setup in a birth center and you would meet there. Just questions for you to be aware of. Another question is, what's your transfer rate? And it would be more of like a, and what's your transfer rate for someone like me? If you have certain risks or situations, maybe you're low risk, or maybe you do, like you're gonna have gestational diabetes and you can control it with diet, and or maybe you're over 35, or what are those questions specific to you look like, and asking them, what's your transfer rate and why do you transfer? What reasons do you find for transfer? If their transfer rate is high, or they transfer a lot for, I don't know, a birth that goes too long, I mean, there can be red flags when it comes to a midwife, out of hospital midwives, even they're not all created equal. There's a lot of great things that come with having an out of hospital midwife, you know, natural, normal. They're aware of all of, you know, the physiological nature of birth. And there are some that we call midwives, right? Because they tend to lean towards transferring a ton. And maybe some of that is a concern of theirs for safety. And so that is important. Maybe it's like, I've been at this labor too long. I take too many births. So I just have a higher transfer rate, and that matters. And you want to ask them, what does that process look like? So say that I do need to transfer. Do you come with me? You know, which hospital do I go to? How do I get there? Are we only by ambulance, or will we transfer with enough time for me to drive in my car? All of that kind of stuff. And then you want to ask things like, tell me about emergency situations. If something does happen here, what are you equipped to handle? And that would include, you know, which emergency situations do you have to transfer for? So are you able to administer medications? Do you use herbals or homeopathics? Do I get to choose any of that? And then it's things like VBACs, right? Maybe you're like me, and the reason that you're going out of hospital is because you just know, this is my personal take on it for myself, you just know that, like, I knew if I, the way that I labored, I have prodromal labor, my contractions don't necessarily get longer, stronger, closer together like they want them to at the hospital. My labors take a long time. I just knew if I was going to give birth in a hospital again for that third baby, that I was going to have another cesarean birth. And so for me, it was like, okay, I need to find a home birth midwife. And do you accept VBAC clients? Do you accept twin clients? Maybe if you have twins. If it's a group practice, this is going to matter. Like, are you going to be the midwife that's helping me deliver my baby, helping me birth my baby? Or am I going to see other people? Can I guarantee that you're there? Do I get to meet everybody? All of those questions are going to be really important for you in advance. If it's a private practice, maybe it's just a single midwife. Okay, do I get to meet your backup? And who's going to be on call during labor? And do you have assistants that are coming with you? And do I get to meet them? So, and then you can ask too, like, what's your birth philosophy? Like, when it comes to laboring and stuff, do you tend to be more hands-on? Do you tend to be more hands-off? You know, some midwives, for example, like my midwife was like, there's no reason for her to touch me. And I was happy with that. And the only, like, pushing time, it was like, you do your thing. Like I said, I pushed for a decent amount of time. She didn't bother me. She was just really encouraging. And then some midwives are much more hands-on, like, okay, well, let's try this position and let's get you out of the tub. And then they get really handsy with the vaginal area. And for some women, they like that. They feel like something is happening. And some midwives really like that. And then on the other hand, some people are like, hands off. Let it go. Like, I know my baby's going to come out of that area. You know, let's one step at a time. And then things like what comfort measures and options are offered. And that includes, too, like I said, is somebody else going to be in that birth space and able to help me? Am I going to have to bring a doula? Is my husband going to have to understand what's happening here? Do you offer any kind of other support, tubs, nitrous oxide? You know, if it's a home birth midwife, do you have a birth tub that you bring with you? Or if it's in a birth center, do you have a standing birth tub? Most often they will. And so those are questions to ask. And then on top of that, and each of these sheets are going to include this as well, when you download them, it's kind of the questions to ask yourself. Like, you want to think about, as you're asking these questions, how are you made to feel? Is your gut telling you that even though the answers are right, something here doesn't feel right? Do you feel comfortable and safe in their presence? Do you feel that your questions were welcomed and that they were answered respectfully? Was the office clean? Is it somewhere that you'd like to give birth? Was the staff friendly? Were they running relatively on time? What of those things really matter to you? And overall, is that going to be a good match? And so those are just some ideas for your midwives. Of course, there's going to be more questions, but I hope that that helps just a little bit. Let's move on to obstetricians. Let's talk about questions to ask an OB. And some of them are going to be pretty similar. Some of them might be a little bit different, but it would be like, again, how long have you been in practice? How many babies have you delivered? Do you have children of your own? I love this question because it is one thing watching women, particularly when a lot of OBs are male. You can have a female, obviously, but and either way, that's going to matter, right? But it's one thing for these male OBs to be talking to you and saying that this is normal and yes, this, and you can be trained in all of the normal things and you don't have to have children of your own. But I think it does help to have your wife or significant other that is going through labor and really understanding like that process, that love for that mom, seeing how she works through that, how the support from dad is going to be so important because he's going to experience that. And it's the same with if you have a female OB. You know, it is one thing to understand how the process of birth works, and it's another to go through it yourself. You have a lot more empathy, just like anything in life. You have a lot more empathy if you've worked through something yourself, something hard that you know is difficult, and then watching somebody else go through it. So all of that matters. I think it, like, for example, understanding that labor land exists. So labor land is like you are in labor and you're, maybe your eyes are closed or what, like you are in a different place. It's a different wavelength. It works differently than how we think of time and everything here. It's almost like a dreamlike state. You become really vulnerable. You become really open to suggestion. And all of that means you're going to have to create a very safe space, and that includes this provider. And so I think having somebody that's been there before, that understands the vulnerability and how the people around her make her feel, can be really useful when we're talking about whether or not you're going to go with a provider. And to be clear, it does not necessarily matter if they've had a birth or not. This is preference for you and how you feel about that. For example, when I wanted to have an unmedicated birth, when that became my goal, that I really wanted to allow my body to do this and figure out how to work with my body to give birth without medication, it was really important to me that the person that I was learning from had done that before. It was also very important to me that my doula had had an unmedicated birth before. Does that mean that going to a childbirth educator that didn't do those things could have taught me the same thing, and having a doula that didn't have an unmedicated birth still could have supported me? Yes. But for me, that was important. That was kind of at the forefront of my mind when I was talking to these people, because I wanted people in that space, and it held true for me. When I had a doula there that was like not freaking out when I felt like I was freaking out and maybe other people should be freaking out, and she was basically quietly, even if she didn't say anything, the idea, like I could basically feel that saying of like, you're fine. It's fine. Like I would say something like, I'm really scared of, or this doesn't feel good, or I don't think I can go on. And they were like, no, you're doing great. This is normal. I'm like, oh, I can trust you because you know, you've been here before. Anyways, that kind of got off of topic there. But do you have children of your own? Could be a question. At which hospitals do you deliver? Because that's going to matter for you. If you take a hospital tour at one hospital and you love it and that provider doesn't help their patients give birth there, then that's going to be a problem. So if they're at another hospital and you're like, I don't like this one so much, is that provider worth that hospital experience? Do you need both? It's just something to think about. Again, how much time is allotted for an appointment? Some providers are really good about answering questions, and that matters to mom, you know, taking the time. And other providers are like, we got 15 minutes and I'm on to my next appointment and this is just how it is. And for some women, that's fine. And for others, you're going to want maybe a little bit more. So it just depends on your preference. What is your cesarean rate? And we've definitely gone over this one before. again, it's going to be one of those things. What is your cesarean rate for a mom that looks like me, maybe healthy and low risk, and I'm under 35, and this is my second baby, and what does your cesarean rate look like for me? That's going to be the same. If you're like, I have gestational diabetes, I'm coming to you at like 35 weeks, you know, all of this, what is your cesarean rate? And one doesn't necessarily necessitate a cesarean more than the other. That depends. That's why it's such an important question for that provider. So keep that in mind. When we're talking about cesareans, tell me when you perform a cesarean, what do you do to help it feel more family friendly? Can I have my arms loose? And can I touch my baby? Can I have the drape pulled down? Am I allowed to breastfeed right away? Can we still do delayed cord clamping? Can we allow my uterus to birth my baby? Yes. All of those things can actually happen during a gentle birth, gentle cesarean birth. Same with music and lights and sounds. And there's a lot more things, and that's a different download that we have. I'll actually put that in the show notes too. We have a gentle cesarean birth plan. So I won't go over cesarean birth in this episode, but I will include that plan for you so that you can download it, look at the questions, take what you like, leave the rest, and tuck it away in your birth bag so that you don't ever have to think about it again. That way you're not focusing on having a cesarean birth, but you have a plan in place that you can quickly hand to any provider if it does become necessary. Another question, are you supportive of VBAC or vaginal birth after cesarean? If so, what's your success rate? That matters. Do they go off of the VBAC calculator? Oh, episode for another time. But if they're using the VBAC calculator, kick them to the curb. It's not accurate. And it has nothing to do with like you and your specific situation. That thing, don't get me started on the VBAC calculator. So what's the success rate? What does that look like for you? How do you go about VBACs? Do you induce for them? You know, again, another podcast for another time. How do you feel about birth plans and patient preferences? So things like intermittent fetal monitoring and delayed cord clamping, those kinds of things. That's going to matter. How do they feel about doulas? How do they feel about having extra people in the room? How many people do you allow in the room? How supportive of you are for an unmedicated birth? If you ask as a first-time mom how supportive they are of unmedicated birth and they kind of roll their eyes or give a little chuckle and like, well, you can try, you know, that's going to be a cue. Maybe they don't say it so clearly. And anyway, so those things matter when we're talking about questions. Now, another thing, if it's a group practice, just like the midwives, am I going to be able to meet everybody in the group? Are you going to be the provider that delivers for me? And if not, who's the backup? Am I going to get to meet them? So those are definitely questions to ask before. And then back to the like, how do I feel about this? What's my gut saying? Did I feel comfortable? Was there anything that stood out? All those things matter. I would say along with this is going to be for midwife or provider availability, right? How many births do you take each month? Like, am I going to be a priority? Am I going to get shoved somewhere else? Do you have any vacations planned for the year? Will you be at all of my appointments and my birth? And if not, who are these other people that will be there? I think along with cesarean is induction. And I think it's important to ask what the rates of induction are. I'd say for both, but most often midwives, they're going to do a natural form of induction. And the answer that you're looking for, I believe, with a midwife, provided you're healthy and low risk and there's not other things involved, obviously, is, well, if we can't, a lot of midwives are not allowed to have you give birth out of the hospital with them past 42 weeks. So it would be like, well, at 41 weeks, we probably want to start doing a couple of little things to really encourage that body to get going. Now, with a midwife, I'm going to assume you're probably doing some of those things prior, and that would be like evening primrose oil and red raspberry leaf tea and massage and chiropractic, and there's all kinds of things. But that would be something to consider and something to talk about with that midwife. So if you can't go past 42 weeks, when do you start trying to do the more, you know, active induction kind of things? What do you recommend I do to prepare my body before so that I don't have to come up against that 41, 42 week prep date? Along with that, it'll be like gestational diabetes. How do you handle it? Any other things that you are have questions about, you know, group B strep, how do you handle that? Do I have to have the antibiotics? What are the pros and cons? How do they handle that question and the response back? Testing, like what if I refuse testing? What if I decide I don't want to do the glucose test? What if I choose not to do the GBS test? Because heads up, you don't have to. You get to choose. There are benefits and risks to taking a test or not. And so it just comes down to how, like, what happens if I refuse testing, you know, and how do they feel about that? It's the same with your birth plan items. These are things like, if I choose no IV, or I don't want I want intermittent monitoring. I want to be able to eat during birth. I want to wear my own clothes. What's the reaction back from the provider just asking those questions? You can see a lot with a facial expression and body language, and it's going to come back to how they're speaking about these things when they're discussing them with you. So how do you feel about XYZ? Or when you're talking about, you know, providers, they are going to offer things like vaccines during pregnancy, the DTaP, or now we've got the COVID vaccine. How do you feel about if I don't get these things, if that's something that you choose to do? And then listening for that response. If it's like, that's harming your baby, and I don't believe that's a good idea, you know, that's not informed consent. That's their opinion. And that might be their professional medical opinion based off of evidence that they have looked into. However, how it's presented and how you are made to feel matters. And that is that one thing that when women look back on their birth experience, it's how was I made to feel? So those are important things to be thinking about. The other side of this, now, the thing is, you guys, like I said, there's a million questions that you can ask a provider. There's no way I'm going to be able to get into all of them. I hope that at least for the provider portion of what we're talking about, that it makes sense. It kind of brings a little bit of clarity. What I want you to be thinking about are some of those options when you're talking about a birth plan, when you're talking about where you want to give birth and who you want in your space, what that looks like for you. Remember, like we've even talked about in the past, like kind of meditate on it, close your eyes for a second, walk yourself through the entire birth process from first contraction to birth. Who's there? What's the situation? Like, are you hooked up to IVs? Are the lights really bright or are they dim? Who's in your birth space? What are people saying to you? Are you in water? Are you walking around? All of that matters when you go to sit down and decide, this is the birth plan or map, as we call it, that I want my birth to follow. These are the options that are important to me, that matter to me. And that'll vary from person to person. You guys, when I was teaching in-person birth classes, we would kind of have this like simulation of birth. And I'd say, okay, you know, here's all of your options for birth. Let's start them all off at like the basis of, I don't know, like an unmedicated birth that has absolutely no intervention, right? So we've got all of these like ideas where it's like, okay, no IV, wearing my own clothes, able to eat during labor, freedom of movement, I can go anywhere I want, intermittent monitoring, all of these things that happened during birth. And I would say to the entire class, okay, you guys, now let's say that things get shook up a little bit. Let's say that we have to change three of these things. What would they be? And the thing is, because we've got a bunch of different couples there, what some people were changing, other people wouldn't. They were like, no, I wanted the IV to begin with. I feel safer about that. I choose to utilize the epidural. I don't really care if I'm in my own clothes. And so it was this conversation, and that's where it's really important to realize that birth is individual. How you choose to give birth does not need to be the same way that anyone else chooses to give birth. You get to choose those things, and they matter to you for different reasons than they're going to matter to somebody else. What is important is that it's respected. Because when everything is said and done, how we were made to feel during birth is the thing that's going to stand out to us most. It's not going to be, oh, my contractions were this far apart, lasting this long for this amount of time, and it was really painful at this point. It will be, no, my husband, my birth partner, was right there by my side. My doctor was definitely on board with my plan. Like, they were so good about allowing me to do what I needed to do. They presented me all the options. And it's how you were made to feel. All right, now that I've kind of, let's switch gears for a moment. So that's why it matters. And that's why I can't list all the like million questions in a row. It's never going to exist like that. It's going to matter for you specifically. So keep that in mind as you're thinking about these questions. These are like your baseline questions. And then what matters to you specifically will hopefully come naturally. And the thing about this, you guys, when you're interviewing providers or when you're having an appointment with your provider, take your phone with you or take a piece of paper and a pen. You're going to have questions that come up prior and after, and you just bring them to the next appointment. just make sure that you're writing, because as soon as that provider leaves the building or you leave the building, you're gonna be like, oh yeah, now I've got like 10 other questions that just came up. So it's okay to not get all of them in at that first visit. All right. The other thing that matters though is your hospital setting, because that is the other part of what's gonna affect how you give birth. And keep in mind, especially if you're in a hospital. So, right, because we're talking about hospital, it's not like if you're at home or a birth center, that's going to be a little bit different. There are different policies, procedures for those areas, but this is going to be a little trickier for women who are birthing in a hospital, just because those policies and procedures can vary greatly from hospital to hospital. And they tend to be a little more on the medical side, obviously, because you're in a medical setting. So keep that in mind as we're talking about this. But These understanding what is normal and natural at one hospital versus another can really help you understand what you're going to need on your birth plan and how it's going to affect you while you're there. Because the thing about it is, the majority of the time, if you are having a hospital birth, it's not your provider. Like, your provider checks in with the nurses and such, but it's the nurses, it's the staff at the hospital that's going to be taking care of you and will have a great say and effect on your birth. So, again, there is a free download in the show notes for this week. It is questions for the hospital tour. And I'll go over a couple of those with you right now. And again, you're going to find that you probably have more questions depending on how your tour goes and what your birth looks like. But it would be like, what are the basic admitting procedures? What does that look like for me? For example, we have a hospital here in Utah where the dads are removed from mom even during labor, like right when they get there, to make sure that like mom is safe, there's no abuse going on or whatever. And that's great. That's fine. So the question is, am I allowed to have my doula come with me so I don't have to be unsupported during this time? Because I plan to come in when I'm like really in active labor and I'm not going to want to be separated from my husband. Those kinds of things are important. Other things are like, what kind of paperwork do I need? Do I need my insurance card? Am I going to have to fill out a ton of stuff? Is this stuff that I can do prior to getting to the hospital? Because 9 times out of 10, the majority of it can be done at home before you get to the hospital. And then you want to ask about the birth rooms, right? Like, do they have bathtubs and do they have birth tubs? And oftentimes if they do, it's like, yes, this one room does. And so you're like, what do I need to do to request that? Or what happens if it's taken while I'm there? Am I able to move once that birth is over? You can ask those kinds of things. The other things are like, how about a NICU, right? Because we want to make sure, like some of these community hospitals where you can give birth, they don't have a NICU. And so if there is an emergency, what does that transfer look like? Do I get to transfer with my baby? If the NICU is in hospital, can I stay here with my baby? Am I able to do kangaroo care? If it's a different hospital, am I able to transfer with my baby? Can I stay at that hospital with my baby? Those kinds of things matter. It's also like, you know, like we talked about kangaroo care. Am I allowed to have skin to skin with my baby? Kangaroo care is like, yes, skin to skin with a baby. You can nurse your baby, or if they're so tiny that they need a bottle, you can express milk and give it to them that way. But those things matter and make a difference, and they're not necessarily offered at each hospital. So it's a good question to ask. Things like, does the hospital have a nursery? Am I required to utilize the nursery? Can the baby room in with me? Those kinds of questions. What are the common procedures after baby is born? And this is a really good question, because a baby-friendly hospital, for example, is going to have different normal procedures and ways that they handle things when baby is born than a non-certified baby-friendly hospital. However, they don't have to be certified baby-friendly to do all of the baby-friendly things. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can Google it or look it up, but it's basically things like immediate skin to skin, respecting the golden hour, not giving a baby a bath right away, allowing mom to breastfeed right away, things that are natural, physiological, like this is the normal that should happen right after birth. Whereas some hospitals are like, nope, we take the baby right away. We get them cleaned up for you. We're going to weigh and do all this stuff before we hand them back. There's no golden hour. Those are things that you would have to request at a hospital like that. And the reason that I'm saying you want to know what is the normal policies and procedures for your hospital is because that will affect how you write your birth plan. For example, if I'm going to a baby-friendly hospital and I have some things on there that are really important to me, and I list all of them, but like 9 out of 10 are things they already do, well, then I should probably really just focus on that one and get that one onto my birth plan. For example, if I'm at a baby-friendly hospital, but I choose not to have the Hep B vaccine, or I don't want the erythromycin eye ointment for baby postpartum, but that's something that they do normally because that's not part of baby friendly certification and it's just part of their normal procedures. But those are really important to me. Then I'm not going to put like immediate skin to skin and golden hour and delayed cord clamping because they already do that. I'm going to put, I don't want these vaccines and this eye ointment. This is really important to me. So if you understand what is happening at your birth space, your hospital tour, whatever is normal and natural and whatever, and how much you might have to maybe even like fight a little bit for some of what you really want, then you can start having that conversation with your provider, making sure you've got a really solid birth plan. The best part is even when you're at a hospital that maybe doesn't respect a lot of the things, or I've been or heard, been and heard of hospital tours where moms come in, they're like, what if I don't want an IV? And the nurse is just so snappy. And it's like, oh, okay. Hope you're not on shift. You know what I mean? And I don't mean that in a mean way, but just you go into a situation, you're like, oh man, that's going to be a little rougher of a situation for me. But the nice part is a lot of times, even if you have that kind of hospital setting, maybe that's the hospital where your provider delivers. Maybe there's one hospital in the area and that's just your choice, but your provider is on board with your birth staff. They really do have a say, and it's a lot easier for a mom to go in and say, this is my birth plan. When you walk in to give birth, right? You're in labor and delivery and you're like, here's my birth plan. You know, let me know if you have any questions or whatever. And when they start saying like, oh no, you need to have an IV, you could be like, no, I talked to my provider and he's fine with that. You're welcome to ask him any questions that you have. Please go off the birth plan. I'm not getting an IV. It makes it a lot easier to say, I got backup, so back off, right? So anyways, that is really, really good information for you. So don't just go off of meeting with a provider. You want both. You want to be able to know how your provider feels about things and the hospital stuff. Now, I'm going to give you a couple more before I get off of here. I think some good questions to ask are, especially for hospitals, do you have nurses that are familiar with and supportive of unmedicated birth, or, you know, fill in the blank for whatever you're looking for? Am I able to walk and move around? How do you guys feel about that? Can I walk the halls? Especially remember when COVID and stuff hit, like, do I have to wear a mask? Am I going to be stuck in my room? Maybe that'll tell you at which point during your labor you want to get there. Maybe you want to wait a little longer, or maybe you'd like to be there earlier. What birth supplies do you have? I think that's a huge one. Like, do you have heating pads? Do you have birth balls? Do you have peanut balls? Do you have ice packs? Like, what kind of food and drink is available? Do you have a squat bar, washcloths, extra pillows? What kinds of things do you have available there? And what am I going to need to bring from home? So there you go. There you have it. These are those basic questions that can lead into a ton more questions. Overall, I hope what you are able to take from this is some excellent questions, some excellent downloadable free downloads that you can just like print off and write your own questions about. But I hope what you're grabbing from this is the need to be knowledgeable about the options available so that when you're having the conversation, you can be educated and have that conversation with your provider to where it makes sense to go back and forth instead of them just telling you how it's going to be. And some providers are great at this. And I hope that you're with one, that when you ask a question, it really is true informed consent. You know, these are your options. This is what you get to do. You get to choose. And then you have a really, really great overall view and you can make a choice. But if not, then you at least have some of these ideas in the back of your mind. Like, maybe you didn't know I need to find a VBAC-friendly provider if you're trying to have a VBAC, except that's a really big deal because a lot of them might not be. I hope there's a couple questions that stood out for you. That's always the ideal with these podcast episodes. So make sure, if you have not already, head to the show notes. So it's myessentialbirth.com/podcast. You'll find this week's episode all about these essential pregnancy questions that you're going to want to ask. And then there should be several downloads within the show notes. So once you click on this episode, scroll to the bottom, show notes are there. I think on Apple Podcasts, possibly Spotify now too as well. It looks like when I add links, and I've been trying to add the links to the actual podcast episode within Apple Podcasts or Spotify. So when you look at like the description for this week's podcast, there should be clickable links there as well. Now, again, they're PDFs. You can definitely save them to your phone. You can use them that way. It'd be really great to be able to print them out and write all over them too. So if you need to do it from a computer, then head to the show notes. But hopefully that's helpful. And I will see you guys next week.
That's it for this week, but make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you get notifications first as I drop new episode every week. And don't forget to head over to myessentialbirth.com for all of the free downloads mentioned here and to join the birth course and community serving pregnant moms just like you. If you enjoyed this and other episodes, I would love it if you would take a few minutes to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I read every single one and include one at the beginning of each episode. See you next week.